The day before Snowmageddon. How come no one has called it that again?
I'm surprised because a couple years ago, I don't know who invented it. It's one of those words that somebody thought of and they don't get credit. It's sad.
Jerry Taft, I'll give him
You think
him
Jerry
credit.
Taft came up with Snowmageddon? So there was a huge snowstorm here in Chicago and it was referred to as Snowmageddon. And then every once in a while, people would still use that word to describe other big snows. But this one, you would think, with all the advanced warning,
have
the
you
panic,
heard it once today?
You're the first one. You're the first one.
I have not. 8 years later, Snowmageddon was 8 years ago.
Snowmageddon was the one that people were stranded on Lakeshore Drive for, correct? It'd have to be.
Yeah, and I think that was the one. Is that also when thundersnow started happening?
Well, no. Thundersnow has been around since they invented thunder and snow. It's been around forever.
No, it hasn't.
Yeah.
The guy from the Weather Channel, Jim, what's his name? The guy that everybody knows that I can't think of his name.
He's local or national?
No, he's national, but everybody knows him. He's the one who came up with thundersnow. It's a concept that has been around, I guess, but it didn't happen very frequently.
Well, the name is new, but the idea, but it happened prior,
I never
right?
really saw it much before recently.
Jim who?
What's his name? The Weather Channel guy, Cantori.
Oh, Jim Cantori.
Is that his name?
It sounds right. Yeah, let's go with that.
He's like
Chief Thundersnow.
Right, that's who he is over at the Weather Channel. Everybody knows who he is.
Yeah.
I don't know when it was, because there February 5th to February 6th, 2010, up to 2 feet of snow fell.
Yeah, that was a lot.
Yeah, that was around Groundhog's Day. I remember that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I kept remembering it.
Yeah. Well, it had a cool name. That's why you give something a cool
right.
name. We made fun of the Kardashians yesterday, but they're giving their kids cool names so they don't forget what their names are.
That's
they're
a good point.
They're ahead of the game.
Well, we are on the eve. It's Snowmageddon Eve.
Oh, so true. So true. Downstairs, we were telling stories of Quincy Jones. Quincy Jones is a noted music producer. I've always heard in music circles he's well-respected and considered to be one of the top music producers of all time. But he just did an interview in which he said some very strange things, like Marlon Brando was so horny that he'd have sex with a mailbox, that he did have sex with Richard Pryor, that the Beatles weren't very good musicians. I'm trying to think of the other ones. That Michael Jackson stole music from Donna Summer, which...
I could see. But why does he have to steal? You know, he doesn't.
Michael Jackson didn't need to steal. He had his troubles, but I think stealing from Donna Summer doesn't seem right. Now, there's one that I left off. I wanted to save it for upstairs.
Why? Is it blue?
Yeah, it's blue. It's very blue. He claims, Quincy Jones, that he once dated Ivanka Trump. The age difference is interesting.
Ivanka's the daughter, right?
Yeah.
I get her and Ivana mixed up. That's her mother.
Yeah, her mother is Ivana, so then they added a K and they came up with Ivanka.
Genius.
Genius move. here's the story.
If your mom had a girl, she would have named her Bilk.
Bilk.
Just had a K.
I guess
or
if
Fickle.
Yeah, I guess it. Well, then she could have played for the Blackhawks
right.
for a couple of years.
You just add a K. That's what
all
you
do. You don't have to think up a whole new name. Who has time? If you're Donald Trump, you don't have time to think up a whole new name.
Oh, he didn't help in the naming.
You don't think he did?
No.
No.
He would have named her Donald.
Right.
Like
right.
the George Foreman thing.
It's a great name. Quincy Jones goes all out in a new interview where he discusses Michael Jackson, who he claims killed... Oh, I'm sorry. This is a separate idea.
wait
I thought
a
he
minute.
Said that Michael Jackson killed JFK.
No.
Why would Michael Jackson kill John F. Kennedy? That seems rude. These are separate stories, Wendy.
Although I like that you've grouped them together.
Again, it's all based on time. You don't have enough time to do them separately. So Michael Jackson killed JFK and then dated Ivanka Trump. Can you imagine all that going on?
Another K, JFK,
right.
Ivanka.
Right. Yep. K, K, K.
Mm-mm.
In a Vulture interview, allegedly, the record producer called Donald Trump. Oh, this is good. Listen to this. He, Quincy Jones, calls Donald Trump a crazy mother blanker. of limited mentality, a megalomaniac, a narcissist. He says, I can't stand him. I used to date Ivanka, you know?
He did not.
He says he did.
He did not date Ivanka.
Quincy, Wendy, are you calling Quincy Jones a liar?
I don't know if I'm calling him a liar, per se.
Here's what he says. Here's his story of a man named Quincy. He continues, 12 years ago, Tommy Hilfiger, who was
working... Figure.
Yeah, Hilfiger.
Not finger.
Hilfiger.
No, there's no N.
Tommy Hilfiger, who was working with my daughter, Kidada, said... That's Quincy Jones's daughter's name, Kidada. Not Kippadada. Remember him?
Yes, nothing but a wet dream.
He was a stand-up comic, yes. Kippadada, who Quincy Jones had amazing respect for and named his daughter Kidada after Kippadada. Said, Ivanka wants to have dinner with you. And I said, well, that's no problem. She's a fine mother blanker. She had the most beautiful legs that I ever saw in my whole life. Wrong father, though. Now, he brings up something that I've thought about several times, which is, in a parallel universe where I'm not happily married, which I am, if the father's crazy nuts, the way some believe Donald Trump to be...
Or Quincy Jones, for that matter.
Or Quincy Jones.
Are you going to date Kidada?
No, I can't date Kidada. No.
What about Kippadada?
Kippadada I would go out with as friends, Wendy.
Okay, Marlon.
Just as friends. And then I would think about him while I was having sex with a mailbox. As friends.
oh, boy.
I'm trying to think of who I used to use as an example of this, but I thought to myself, because their father is so nuts, no matter how beautiful they are, their father is so... I'm trying to think of who it was. It was somebody famous whose father is, of course, also famous.
Was it...
It's not Liv Tyler and Steven Tyler.
I don't remember.
I can't think of who it was.
But, like, what if you were Meathead and you were going to marry Gloria Stivic?
Yeah.
And you had to deal with a father like Archie Bunker?
Well,
okay.
Can I be... You know this.
Never mind.
My father-in-law was very similar to Archie Bunker.
Maybe that's where I got that idea.
He was. He was very, very similar to Archie Bunker.
Him, so I shouldn't say...
Politically and fashion-wise. He was very similar to Archie Bunker. But, I mean, my love for Terry was so strong... that I said, how often am I going to see her dad? So,
right, and that's in this universe. In the parallel universe,
in the parallel universe, it was somebody really famous who was beautiful, but their father's a nut job. And I went, boy, I couldn't, because of who their father is, I can't even think about being with that girl, because I'd go, oh, but what, her father, though? I can't think, I can't remember.
Beautiful girls with nut job fathers.
Right.
I cannot come up with anybody.
Driving me crazy. I'll think of it later. I'll call you. I'll call everybody.
Right.
Everybody listening, call Jasmine with your number. And when I think of who it is, I'll phone you later on. But you know what I mean? Like, sometimes it's so overpowering that even though you see a possible future with somebody, you go, but their parents are so nuts, or one of their parents is so nuts. I don't even want to think about it. I can't even imagine it.
I know you sort of marry the family, too, but...
You do, kind of.
I know, but if you're really in love with someone, then you just... You're on vacation at all the family gatherings.
Yeah. But then, do you at some point have to establish... Because Terry and I established that... I mean, she grew up with her dad, and she loves her dad, and that's the way it should be. He's no longer... For people just joining, he's no longer with us. But, like, I said... Like, there were a couple of instances where, like, on the way home, I'd go... You know, when your dad said this, or when your dad did this, and she goes, I know, that's my dad. You know,
but that's her dad. You
right.
love your parent, and you defend your parents. So didn't that kind of start fights sometimes? Like when you'd go, Terry, your dad did this. Wouldn't she go, yeah, I know, but just can we not talk about it?
The only time, it never started a fight, but the only time it ever caused real friction is he would not call me Bill. He would call me William.
Why?
And I'd say... He did it because he knew it bugged me, but he would say
he
was doing it.
It's a lot like you, then. You do things that you know bug people just to get their goat.
But if somebody said to me, hey, could you, this, you know the thing that you do that bugs me, could you not do it? Because I did. On a couple occasions, I'd say, Jim, could you just go with Bill? And he'd go, what does it say on your birth certificate? And I go, it says William. He goes, well, then that's your name, and that's what I'm going to call you. You know, that happened more than once. You know, so that so there was some
how ridiculous,
friction.
By the way, that you couldn't just ignore that.
I could, but I thought to myself, if this is going to go on for years and years and years, because it was already at that point, it was already old for me, you know, because he did that from like day one, you know, when we were introduced. And then every time we'd see him, hello, William. And he knew that it bothered me. It's like,
How could you not just in your head go, you know what? He's going to call me William. So I'm just going to not even.
Well, I would say to him, privately, I go, Jim, it does say it on my birth certificate. You win.
Why does it bother you that much
flag.
That he did that?
I think because when I was a kid, the only time either of my parents ever referred to me as William is if they were mad at me. So,
well, he was mad at you because you married his
right,
daughter.
Right.
So makes sense.
Problem solved. All right. So then when the girls were born, when Reese and Kylie were born in the hospital, he goes, can I talk to you out in the hall? And I go, sure. This is going to be good. So then we go out in the hall and he goes, I think from now on, you should call me Grandpa. And I go, well, it doesn't say it on your birth certificate.
Oh, right? God, you carried around this.
Well, it was in the I had to.
Bill.
I had to. So he goes, well, I just think, you know, I'm your daughter's grandfather, so let's go with Grandpa. And I go, but you're not my grandpa, because he's not. And he goes, no, but I think it would be better for everybody if you called me Grandpa. So I go, well, no. Because I didn't want to call. He's not my grandpa.
Well, you wouldn't. But when you speak about him, like, hey, we're going to Grandpa's house. That's what he meant.
I'd say Archie Bunker's house then. Hey, everybody, hop in the car. We're heading over to Archie Bunker's house on Hauser Street.
Boy, you have no forgiveness in you, do you?
No, it wasn't a matter of forgiveness. It was a matter of, like, he knew that that was a wound, and he always had a box of salt, you know? So he would just sprinkle it liberally on me, you know? William, here's some salt. Whee! You know? But why, I didn't want to give in to that.
No, you just ignore somebody who it's like the school room bully.
Yes.
The playground bully. At yes. some point, you just ignore it, and then they stop doing it.
I could have ignored it, I guess, but the mere fact that every time we saw him,
how
he would
often
like,
did you see him? Like more than once a year?
Oh, yeah.
And he did it every time?
Yeah, six or eight times a year, you know? And he wouldn't just do it once, like, you know, we'd all be around the table for whatever holiday it was. Hey, William, how about this? And William, you know,
would you get mad enough to leave the room or something?
No, but I'd always say to Terry, I'd always go, you know, if we can't figure out this name thing, it's ridiculous, you know, because it was. I mean, he was just doing it to mess with me. And it was working.
And it totally
it worked. Every time. Like, if it didn't work, then it would have been easier. But
you're smarter than that. I can't believe you wouldn't, like, give in and, hey, it's William here.
Yeah.
You know, start playing along.
A giant name tag. Hello, my name is William.
Well, you would have taken his power away.
I should have said to him at some point, you know, Jim, the more I think about it, I think I would like everybody to call me William. Because Bill is, that's a duck's nose. Why would I want anyone to call me a duck's nose? So, could you only call me William? I should have done that on him.
And then he would have not done it.
Then he would have called me Bill.
Right.
When we got our first apartment, we had a holiday at our house for the first time. I don't remember if it was Easter. I don't remember what the holiday was, but everybody in the family was coming to our apartment because it was the first time we had our own real place
yeah.
that we had purchased.
And both families came together? Your family and Terry's?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So you know how, like, at a holiday, the way the table is situated, you got, like, one person whose house it is or apartment it is at one side.
At the head of the table.
At the head of the table, and then the other at the other side. That's the way I always thought it would play out, right?
Really? So, I don't.
You don't think so?
Jim,
how do you do it?
At Thanksgiving, Jim sits at one head of the table.
Where do you sit?
Usually next to him, close to the kitchen, and I, out of respect, let Jim's dad sit at the other head of the table.
Oh, then this story is not going to go well. This story will not be good
it
then.
It seems weird that Terry would sit at the other head of the table.
In my house when I was growing up, my dad sat at the head at one side and my mom at the other. And then anytime we would go to anybody else's house.
Whoever lived there, it would be the
relatives.
Husband and wife.
Yeah.
I like that. I never thought of
that. You guys don't
it.
Do that. So that's the way I always thought it would be for us. Like whenever we could afford our own place and we finally have a big table and everybody's sitting around it.
That's you and Terry
on
at the
one
head.
Side, Terry on the other side. And then we could call each other. Hello, how are things on your side of the table?
Just have the butler bring a note back
right,
and forth to each
back
of you.
And, forth. And then I also envisioned a ping pong net in the middle of the table. That didn't come
just
out.
Just in case a game breaks out.
Just in case. Just
all
in case. All right, so it's our first holiday. It's our first house. I'm all excited. I finally get to sit at the head of the table. I've waited a long, long time for this. So Terry's already situated at her side of the table. And as I'm making my way to the other side, her dad just stops me and then makes his way and sits down there.
He should have kicked Terry out, not you. That you're the head of the table should have you. He should have asked Terry to move or said, "Hey, honey, do you mind if I sit there today?"
Maybe.
He did it just to
mess with me.
Yeah, he did.
To mess with me.
He called you William, too, I'm sure.
Out of the way, William. I'll be sitting here. Thank you very much. You know.
And you moved. Or did you punch him?
I just kind of stood there, and I go, Jim, the way the seating is going to work is I'll sit here, and then Terry will sit there. He goes, oh, no, 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 no. He goes, you can sit over there, and he showed me where there was an open seat. And I go, no, it would really be better if I sat over here where I've always dreamt of sitting. And,
oh, yeah. I'm sorry. Your first holiday. And
I know.
I know you. I know you were writhing inside. So what happened? Where'd you sit?
I sat in the seat that he told me would be better, but then I said to Terry,
you're a good man.
This is only going to happen once. You know that, right? And she goes, yeah, I'm sorry. And I go, I know, I'm sorry too. But
why didn't she give up her seat then and say, Dad,
I didn't want her to do that.
But she should have done that. She should have gone, Dad, why don't you sit here? Bill, you sit at the head of the table. Dad, you sit in my seat today.
I also thought it would be nice for him to sit outside from that. I've put a little table up in the yard if you want to sit out in the yard.
Is it the kid table? No,
it's the grumpy old man table. Sit over there, and if any other grumpy old men come, they can sit with you.
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Did you ever have a holiday again?
Yeah, we had more holidays.
And where did he sit?
All right, so here's the way we did it, because this was the best way to handle things with him. Terry and I went to her mom and said, you're going to have to be the buffer on this. Explain to him that it would really mean a lot to me, since it's my house, to sit at the head of the table and Terry at the other. So she smoothed it over and explained to him, and he goes, oh, I wish somebody would have told me, but he knew.
I just, you know, quite honestly, I can't believe it would bother you guys that much for just one day. I know it's your house.
It
but
shouldn't have. I mean
you have guests over in a way, you kind of give them.
Yeah, I guess.
Because I know what you mean, too. I mean, in our kitchen table, not the dining room table when I have Thanksgiving every year, then who knows who's going to sit where. But at our kitchen table, we all have our seats that we sit in all the time. There's four seats. There's four of us. So then if, like, you know, if a friend is over for
dinner.
Throws
a monkey in it.
A little bit.
Yeah.
And, you know, we all kind of stop and go, well, wait a minute.
What do we do now?
Clark's in my seat. But then we don't say anything. We just pull up a chair.
Right.
So I get that you have your things. But
we don't even normally, like, around our dining room table, there is no assigned seating. On any given day, Terry, Reese, Kylie, or I could sit in any of the four seats. And even, you know this, in our bed with Terry and I
know,
sometimes I sleep on the left side and sometimes I sleep on the right side.
Isn't that the weirdest thing you've ever heard, Judy?
That is weird.
They don't have an assigned side.
Wow.
It's just up for grabs every night.
Interesting.
And there's no rhyme or reason. Sometimes I'll sleep on one side 5 nights, 6 nights in a row, and then on the other side, some nights we back and forth.
Usually in bed first?
Terry. Almost always Terry, yeah.
Oh, so she decides.
She decides, but let's say she has a nightmare or a dream that brings her to one side or the other, then I will fill in the gap, whatever side is open, you know? Yeah.
But at the dining room table.
On a holiday, things got a little messy. All right, let's do this. I know, Judy, you weren't here for the whole story. So
I think that's where that you have assigned seating at your tables.
Well,
you can fill her in off
there.
Yeah,
I'll tell you what happened off
there. All right.
Okay. All right, some news is coming next. Judy's got the news, and then there's more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Those are the headlines. I'm so sorry.
No.
Come on. No one's
Wendy's
blaming
looking
you.
At me
because
like,
5
what?
To 10 total, we've had that before.
Yeah,
come
we've
on.
Had that a lot of times
a
before.
Shovel and stay on top of it.
It doesn't scare me, but it'll just, you know, and it's a Friday. That's kind of another good thing.
That makes it better, right?
It does, because people just won't come to work. They'll just take off.
Take the day
I'm
off.
I'm going to do my best to get here, Bill. And, you know,
my money's on you not being
here
tomorrow.
No, but I will show up. I just may be late. I don't know what else to do. You may be late too. You're taking the train.
Oh, he's obvious. So guaranteed. Look at him. He's so sure of himself.
So is Bertrand. He's so sure. You're like, oh, you're not taking the train? No, I'm going to drive myself. And who knows? The train may stop.
See, unlike you, I consider the train, but then I have to get to the train from my house. Here, I'm okay with walking. And I guess I could
not
walk.
Not me. I had a knee replacement.
Yeah, you can't walk. And it's, then everyone's renting. Oh, you're downtown. It's fine. No. I've been in a snowstorm downtown. Yeah. Traffic is not fine.
I'm going to rent a Zamboni,
drive.
Judy. I just decided.
We will
there's
need a Zamboni.
Rental
just drive it right down Madison.
Yeah,
and
it's
we
easy.
Could all just take Madison.
All right. That's
who's going to go to the Blackhawks game tonight?
I think people will still go.
I don't know.
Tonight,
don't so.
You'll still be okay. I mean, I don't think it's
going to start
really
it'll
bad
late.
Until like 9.
Right.
It'll start at 6, but, it won't get bad till.
Till when? About 8 or 9?
Till I get home.
The second
and
you
then
get
it's
home.
Gonna snow overnight, and that's the problem.
Yeah.
Yes, it's overnight, but you figure the plows will have all they'll have all the time in the world to get out there. But if it keeps, it's good and bad that it's a long event because it will keep snowing, so they'll plow, and then an hour later they'll have to plow again, and then
so is it better? How is it better? Is it better if it's strung out over a long series?
I sometimes think it's great if it dumps 5 inches overnight.
Yeah.
Then you see maybe at 3 or 4 in the morning you start, but this sounds like it's going to be
continual,
could be an inch an hour maybe or something
but it's 27 hours and it's only 5 to 10 inches, so it's at some point it's going to be
like
an
a true
inch
Chicagoan.
But
it's only
inches.
10 inches.
It's true though. I agree. It's
all right. I say this now and I'm not scared, and then I'll be crying tomorrow on white knuckling it on the way into work.
She'll be on the phone.
I'm running late.
I'm on the Stevenson. I can't get off.
I'll do the first hour from the phone. I don't know. I'm going to do what I can to get in, but I'm not taking the train.
I'll be here to do your headlines.
Judy's a professional.
At 10?
Well, what? Every time I come in.
Oh, I thought you meant for me.
I'll be here to do your headlines now. So I'll probably, if I come in the studio and you're not here, I'll still do them.
We know you can't stay long. We know that it's understaffed in the newsroom. But explain this, because I think it's the same with snow as it is with tornadoes, the difference between watch and warning. One means that it actually exists for sure, and
one
the other means
spotted.
It might
watch,
possibly.
Yeah, watch is, this could happen.
This isn't a
warning.
A watch.
Warning is, we have a warning. A warning is,
definite,
this will happen.
Here it comes.
Yeah. It's
so we're, right now we're on watch or we're on warning?
Warning.
We're on warning.
There's no watch.
This will happen, yeah.
There's no watch in snow.
The only
snow?
Thing I've seen different, and you know what? It's funny. I've got to actually go because the National Weather Service is holding a news conference, and I want to get on the phone and be on
it.
Because I ask the best questions.
Do you? What's the sample question? Give me a quick sample.
My first thing I always say is, can everyone please put their mute buttons on?
Oh, that's a good one. Here's, what my question would be? What causes snow?
No, it's going to be, when exactly will the snow be falling in Villa Park?
Yes.
I always love that, because listeners will call us and ask
us. In Villa Park.
When will the snow start?
Oh.
So the only thing, though, for this snow event I've seen, and I've been talking about now for, probably 24 hours, at least, maybe 48, is that they did change it. It was late Thursday, because even Tom Skilling was saying, no worries. You have no worries for the rush hours for today, yesterday, and today.
Right.
The models are showing us the snow's going to come in late, Judy, not early.
Now it's rush hour.
It's early. So I don't think, we still have a couple hours, but to me, that's the only thing that's changed.
Oh, okay.
Everything else has stayed the same. They may have backed off a little bit because they were saying a foot, and now it's a foot and some inches.
Oh.
More than 20 inches of snow fell in some parts of the Chicago area on February 1st, 2011.
That's the snowmageddon.
Yeah.
Your 20 inches. Or a Milton Berle, as we call it in the business, Wendy.
Snowpocalypse, Snowzilla.
Yep.
That was Groundhog Day that
snow.
Year.
Whole lot of snow.
Yeah, a whole lot of snow.
Bunch of snow.
Or how about this one? It's Chicago.
Yeah.
It's February.
That's also good.
So why didn't management put us up in a hotel? Because when we worked at another station at Snowmageddon, I was put up in the Renaissance Hotel right across the street, and I brought some vodka and chopped up limes.
That's why.
I had a room to myself, went and had a great dinner.
I hate to tell you, but we do have rooms. Other people have been offered rooms.
Oh, well, wait.
Maybe you need to go ask them and you can get one.
No, because I set my alarm for 4 p.m. instead of 4 a.m., and thank God I woke up and ran across the street, because how weird would that have been, we got you a room so you wouldn't be late, and I'm just sleeping off my vodka hangover.
Yep.
Now that's funny.
Yep.
Oh, thank God.
All right, Jude. Yeah. We know you have a conference call.
Yes. Well, come in if there's any updated info.
I absolutely will
posted.
Let you know.
All right.
Especially during school
class.
My word. My snow word,
Wendy.
Bye, Jude.
I'm not worried. I don't know that I should be.
No, what good does it do to worry? There's going to be a whole lot of snow, and we'll navigate around it as we've done a thousand times in the past. There's no worry should go into this at all.
Well, I normally leave at 8:30. I will try and leave at 7:30, which to get here at 10, I should be here.
Yeah.
I'm not leaving any earlier.
No, if you leave an hour earlier, good.
All right.
Check in with Jasmine at 7:30. Let her know you're leaving.
All right.
Just so she can keep tabs. She's got a little, there's a map of the route that you take from your house to the station, and she'll just move a little button alongside the map so we know where you are.
But see, now my route might be different tomorrow because I take side streets to get to a main thoroughfare.
And those might be all blocked.
Right, so I may just hop right on 290 right away.
Yeah.
Or maybe the Stevenson. No, I'm not going to go Lakeshore Drive because you get the snow, what is it called? Lake effect snow. I'm not going to do that. So 290 tomorrow.
I think that would be your best bet. Yes. I take Lower Wacker the whole way. No matter where I go, I take Lower Wacker. People laugh. They go, you can't go to Indiana through Lower. Yes, I do.
I don't know if you noticed today, but there was way lighter traffic because no one is driving because they're expecting a bad rush home.
Yeah.
So they thought, oh, I'm just going to take the train today.
Yeah, right.
So tomorrow there's going to be idiots like me and Judy Pilak are the only two people that are driving in.
Yes.
So we will get here on time.
It could work that way. It could very well work that way. All right. We'll see what happens tomorrow. I'm hoping for a huge success. Snow sucks. Whatever.
What?
Snow sucks.
Easy, Quincy.
Snow sucks.
Jones.
Snow sucks.
Or Marlon Brando.
Did you ever see a celebrity and think, oh, I know, I bet I know exactly what that guy or that girl is like just because I've seen them in things. So I have a pretty good beat on what that person would be like, and you're proven wrong at some point. Who comes to mind? Does anyone come to mind right away? Because one just happened to me this week that I was sure, I go, I know what this guy's like, and I couldn't have been more wrong.
I can't think of anybody off the top of my head.
No one?
No. No, because, like, just a celebrity because of what you've seen them in. You're like, oh, I bet they're so nice and fun, and then they aren't.
And then they're the opposite.
I can't think of anybody.
Do you know who Michael Shannon is? Chicago actor. I'll tell you what you just saw him in. You saw The Shape of Water.
I haven't seen
it. Is it The Shape of Water? Am I saying it right? Or is it something else of water? The Shape of Water, right?
Yes.
Yeah, The Shape of Water. He's been in a bunch of things.
I'm looking at him and I still don't know.
He always plays like a cop or an agent who's got an attitude. The one thing I'll say for him is he's a great actor. There's no question about it. But his characters always have a lot of confidence. Like you say to yourself, well, there's a guy who's just built on confidence, you know? So he was on with Stephen Colbert the other night, and he's real shy and unassuming. And there's a little bit of confidence, but he's not overly confident. But everything they talked about, he's just kind of, you know, kind of sheepish about. And
really?
I went, what a great actor this guy is. I never in a million years would have thought of him this way. He was just the exact opposite of what I had envisioned.
Although, doesn't that happen frequently? I mean, especially like with comics. I can't believe, like Gilbert Gottfried, there's a person who is a goofball. And then when we're off the air, he's pretty shy.
He can be pretty shy, right.
I mean, you know him very well, so he's not that shy with you, but he's very different off the air.
But he's, like, for years, because there were long stretches, years at a time, where he would not come out of character. I mean, I'm sure he did with family and friends, but anytime I'd see him, anytime we ever had him on, he would stay in character.
Even off the air?
Off the air, right. But even during those years, he would always say, you know, his stage persona, when he's doing stand-up, he squints and closes his eyes, and he would say, it's because I was afraid to look the audience in the eye. I was so afraid I would see a room full of people not enjoying me that I didn't want to look at them. So I would squint and block my view so I couldn't see him. So even though he gave off that goofball vibe, which is true, he's a goofball, there was still that kind of, what if they're not liking this? I don't want to see them not like me.
Well, if you haven't seen the documentary that I believe is on Netflix, please watch it.
So good.
It is good, but you just see a side of him that...
Yeah.
So that's the guy who comes to mind
Gilbert
different
Gottfried,
from what you said, expect.
I've seen Michael Shannon in, over the last couple of years, probably six or seven or eight things. And the one thing I always walk away with is how overly... You know how we've talked about how there are some people who are confident and there's some people who are overly confident and they just can't back it up? I always go, I can't imagine how confident this guy must be to play these guys who are like always so dynamic and sure of themselves. He must be that way. And then he comes out with Stephen Colbert and he's just really quiet and shy and meek and timid. And I go, oh, wait a minute. That's the exact, that's not the Michael Shannon I was envisioning.
It is weird.
Yeah. L.L. Bean has an interesting idea. Do you ever shop at L.L. Bean?
Not enough that I should. I like it. I just never think to go there.
They are considering giving discounts for their new line of clothing that can track you. Like the clothing will keep track of where you go while wearing the clothing.
So do moms not tell their kids that they're purchasing this stuff?
I think it's more for adults so that they can keep track on what your activities are. Like, let's say you're a marketing firm and you want to know what a potential customer does throughout the day, and then you can target them with ads. You know what I mean?
But how do they get your information?
L.L. Bean would make a deal with companies.
Oh, well, that's not right.
L.L. Bean says it will start sewing in sensors into its clothing to track how customers use the items in a new pilot test. This is according to a report in the Wall Street Journal.
Oh, so they're doing it for their own good.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Well, you have to be a clothes manufacturer in order to do it. They want to see what their people, what their target demo is, basically.
Here's what it's similar to.
Big Brother.
It's not similar to Big Brother. It is Big Brother. I think I told you this before, but my brother would not get... Now, my brother is a conspiracy theorist. Just know that at the beginning of this. He would not get a Juul preferred card because he said, I don't want them tracking me. And I would laugh and I go, Juul's not tracking you. What do they care what you do? And he goes, oh, no. He goes, when you go into Juul, they want to know what your route is so that they can market directly to you and find out where you're going first, second, third, fourth. And I go, that's not true. And then I talked about it here on the air one day and all these people called up, including a guy who helped develop the technology. He goes, oh, no, that's exactly why they have the preferred cards. Is they want to know when you walk into the store, are you going straight for beer? Are you going straight for milk? Are you going for bread? Where are you going? And then where are you going after that? How much time are you spending there?
I don't know that that's true, though. I know that, like, when you purchase things, it would go on your preferred card so they know what you purchase
right. In
order to, you know, send you coupons or what have you. But I don't know how they could, on a stupid little card that wasn't very advanced, they could track how long you were in the beer room.
Well, because there's... From what the guy told me, there were sensors in and around the store that would keep track of route and how much time is spent, you know, and
I
then
think
they can put, you don't
I,
believe that?
No, I know they keep track of what you purchased because that's the main reason. Like, oh, she bought Depends. It's for her dog or for her, who knows, but then they send you Depend coupons or whatever.
All right. So here's a question that's based on that I don't understand at all. If they're keeping track of all that data on you, if you look at your receipt when you're done shopping at a store, they give you coupons for the products that
you already bought.
No, it's a different version of what you bought. If I was buying Apple Jacks every day, I would get a coupon for Cocoa Krispies. And I'd go, wait a minute, but I buy Apple Jacks every day. Why are they giving me this coupon instead of an Apple Jacks coupon?
I get the same.
You do?
I get the same because I get so mad. It's like, you know, why didn't they give me this beforehand? I say, every time, I always buy this stupid creamer for my coffee. And I just got to tell you, it's been like $3.99. Mm-hmm. Big deal. Mm-hmm. It's, sweet cream flavored, I don't even know the brand name, but I love it. I use it every morning. And was $3.99. I'm like, that's expensive. Sometimes it's on sale, 2 for $5, so I'll buy two.
Yeah.
I went to purchase them. It's 2 for $9.
Oh, they checked the price.
Oh, my God. It's like $5.99 if you buy them singly, or on sale, $4.50. It went up like $2.
Why? What's in it that made the price go up?
I don't
so much?
Know. I have no idea. And so every single time I'm at the Juul, I get a printout for that sweet cream thing. And I look at the lady or guy and go, can I use this now? And they're like, no, I'm sorry.
You've already made your purchase.
Yeah.
All right, so why would yours be for the products in Dubai?
Know.
Mine are always for the opposite.
It's always. Every time. On your next visit, I got Sudafed, where I had to, you know, give my firstborn child and my driver's license.
Yeah.
And then you get a receipt, and a coupon punches out, and it's like, get Sudafed next time, save a dollar. Like, darn you.
Right.
I always get what I just purchased.
I don't get it. I don't... Our shopping experiences are exactly different.
I know.
These sensors, the sensors that L.L. Bean will be putting in their clothing, will start being used in coats and boots. We'll collect stats about how people wear and use the items that they've purchased. The information will then be sent to Ethereum blockchain and available for the company as raw data or data. That will include things like the temperature that the garments experience. All right, so this is actually a slightly more legit version of what I was fearing. If they're just saying, if you're going to buy a coat, we want to know what the temperature is where you're wearing the coat, so I guess we can make the coat either warmer or colder, that's all right. If they're using it for that, I'm okay with it.
That's what they say they're using it for.
The information will also tell them how often the various clothing has been worn and how many times they've been washed. Well, what do they do with that?
See if it stands up to how many washings. If you've washed it 100 times, then the company goes, wow, this is really holding up because they've washed
right.
it 100 times.
Oh, all right.
I'm going to put the coat and boots on my dog and walk Tiki around in it.
I don't know where she wore it, but she was crouched down so low.
Walking through puddles nonstop.
Wow.
Oh, she peed on her own boot.
Scratching herself a lot. There must be some itchy something in the material. That information is a goldmine for retailers, which can then use the information for creating new products, for marketing their products, and for talking with suppliers. So I guess that's a good selling point if they say, look, this coat is being worn this amount of times, and it's still in good shape. I can see where that would be handy, I guess. L.L. Bean will access the data from Ethereum. I don't know what that is, but they keep saying
the
that.
The company.
Is that a company?
Yeah, I think it sent to Ethereum is the name of the company you read.
Sounds like part of heaven.
It does.
I don't know if it is or not. Chad Leader, an innovative specialist at L.L. Bean.
What do you say about people named Chad?
Can't trust them.
Mm-hmm.
Can't trust them. Indicated to the journal that it may provide discounts to those who enter the test, making the clothing with the sensors cheaper than comparable clothing without the sensors. Would you get it with or without?
If it's something I really wanted, I don't care. They can have the information.
Yeah.
I got nothing to hide, Bill.
Yeah. Customers will have to consent to give over the data at the time of purchase and then hand over some other demographic data to give a fuller picture of who exactly is using the items.
Depends how much discount you got. If it was, you know, 50%
off,
I'm not doing that. Right.
But if it's that much off.
I bet you don't take those surveys, those five-question surveys at the end of phone calls either.
I never have.
I do.
And then a lot of the places that if I'm just getting a quick meal, like
No. I mean, if you're on the phone, like I called the bank and it's like, oh, if you would hold on at the end of this transaction, if you'd participate in a quick 5-question survey, you know, stay on the line afterwards.
What do you get out of that?
I just, if the person helped me who was really good, I give them all positive results.
Oh.
Do you have to get something out of something to do it?
I'd be more inclined to do it if there's some payoff. But almost everywhere I go, like, I was at Walgreens the other day, and then the lady said, and it's a lady who didn't help me at all, because I didn't need any help.
Right.
I got some power bars, and I paid for them. I didn't need anybody to help me.
But they're doing a survey, and you can win something, and my name's Lucille, and please fill this out.
She did essentially, she goes, how was your experience at Walgreens? I go, fantastic.
Same as ever.
I went in, I saw the bars, I paid for them, and everybody's happy. And she goes, well, if you're happy with your experience, and she gave me her name, she goes, call this number, I get points.
You do it?
No, I didn't do it. Because, I mean,
you helped no one.
But all she really did, she didn't, I mean, I didn't need her to do anything, just, you know.
She was pleasant to you?
She was fine.
She didn't scowl at you?
No, there's no scowling.
That could have been a positive.
Right. All right, I'll do it.
You can win you can win like $500 in credit at Walgreens.
Really?
Something like that.
All right.
Maybe it's not $500. Maybe it's $5.
I'm not doing it. Sorry, Lucille. I'm not doing it. All right, Adam Hoge is coming in. If you like Adam Hoge's work, we'll give you a number to call.
What do you get out of it?
He'll get points. Adam will get points. Oh. It'll be great. All right, Sports Central is just moments away. Stick around, Bill and Wendy, WGN.